Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. Jason DeZurek here with you. Going to take some time and, well, discuss the serpent. You know, in most any culture, the serpent is a symbol of lying, cunning, deceit, and wickedness. Going to take some time and dig into that. Also, be sharing with you a dream we're calling a disquieting dream. We'll be right back.
We are the same.
Yeah, shout it out now. Again, you're tuned in to Do Not Keep Silent. Welcome into the program. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Looking forward to sharing with you this dream later on this half hour. Right now, let's dig into the serpent. It's part of a post I'll be sharing with you from Charlie Wolcott. He's one of our bloggers for Worldview Warriors. His postings are put up every Friday morning around 6 a.m. Eastern Time here in the United States. And so glad you're tuning in to the program. I also want to thank all of our faithful readers out there, not just in the United States, but in the UK and Russia, even the UAE, France, and many other countries as well. We thank you for taking those, and we hope you're using them not just for your own growth, but for, well, people that you're sinking into as well and helping them to see what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. As we begin our program today, I'd like us to, well, take a look at the serpent. Again, sharing with you partly from Charlie Wolcott's writing, The Serpent, tonight. You know, in most any culture, the serpent is a symbol of lying, cunning, deceit, and wickedness. To those raised in a Christian background, you know, the image of the serpent, well, it immediately invokes images of Genesis 3 and the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. And friends, the idea of an actual talking snake seems ludicrous to many. But the ironic thing is that such a notion is precisely what a lying, deceiving, cunning creature would want believed about him, that he's just a myth or a fable. Friends, I myself get into discussions with atheists, agnostics, or just flat-out unbelievers who will bring this up all the time. You actually believe in a talking snake? Well, friends, I wasn't around, and I read the Bible, and that's what it says. Now, C.S. Lewis articulated well two major fallacies regarding Satan that's going on. You know, one's just mentioned, you know, he's a myth, a fable. We treat him as a mythical entity. The other is the reverse. Instead of treating him like a myth, you treat him with so much attention that you see him behind every bush, every nook and cranny. Both sides are dangerous, friends. Satan is not behind every evil thing that happens. He often lets man do his own thing. If anything at all, usually just seems to, well, need to plant a trigger, if you will, and plans to let sin just take its course. At the same time, though, he's a very active being, looking for any way or means to deceive each society so they do not seek the Lord. Friends, it's never wise to neglect the devil, nor is it wise to take him lightly. While Satan is out to deceive mankind, he actually has numerous roles to play in this world. And before I get to that, I just want to share with you a resource that I think, if you're into reading a book, The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis is just an amazing story. It's amazing because it helps one to see how Satan and his demons are at work in this world. Again, Satan actually has numerous roles to play in this world. The most notable role is that he's known as the accuser. Satan actually has a formal job for the King of Kings as an accuser. Again, that's what his name means. Many have described him as a prosecuting attorney. And in Job, Satan actually accused Job for only following God when things went well. And he accused God of having to bribe his people for following him. Friends, Satan spends so much time before the throne of God, of God of heaven, accusing the saints to him for all the sins that we've done. Friends, when he's not accusing us of our sins to God, he's accusing us to our face through thoughts, others, and our emotions. To God, he is very specific about his accusations. But to us, he rarely, if ever, is specific. He wants us to feel guilty, but never with knowledge of what to do about it. Friends, Satan has more roles than just as an accuser, too. He's also a deceiver. When he spoke to Eve, he offered something. I know things that God is withholding from you. He didn't say that directly, you know, but he said, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. He gives special knowledge, false knowledge, if you will. His other popular name is the ex-angel of light, Lucifer, which is the Latin translation from the original Hebrew. Friends, Hebrew names are interesting because they're often given to reflect the situation they were born in or to be a picture of the kind of life that they would have. For instance, Joshua is the man of salvation. The same name as Jesus. Jacob means deceiver, hell grabber, and supplanter. And that's exactly what kind of life he lived for, well, it seems to be 91 years before he wrestled with God. And sometimes Hebrew names are quite the opposite of what their lives were to reveal. Absalom actually means father of peace. And Absalom was anything but peaceful. The same is true with Lucifer. The name is Angel of Light. But it is not true light, but false light. It is not light at all. Satan always promises knowledge that God withholds from us. Yet, it is anything but. Friends, Satan uses this false knowledge to deceive. He is a murderer from the beginning and is the father of lies. Every lie originates from him. A lie is not merely the complete opposite of truth either. It is often a partial truth, as I mentioned earlier in the program. The best deceptions are actually mostly true with just a little lie mixed in there. The best lies speak the language of truth. Deceivers will use the same terminology, use the same key phrases, make the same proclamations, and do everything they can to say they agree to the same tenets as the truth. Yet, there is something deadly wrong with it. Often it is a focus of man and what he gets out of it. There are others, but, well, that's for another time. You know, before I became a follower of Jesus Christ, I fell for this. I did, and maybe you do too. Maybe you did too. I fell for the lies simply because I would find truth somewhere, and then there'd be lies spread in there that I wasn't ready for. I reference that as dog poop in the brownies. In fact, I give a talk about that. And friends, we need to be aware of the dog poop in the brownies. You see, many religions have truth in them. However, it's not all truth. You see, they have stolen their capital from God. When you see a religion that's claiming that murder is wrong or stealing is wrong and that's something we shouldn't do or that we should help others, well, of course, that's the truth. But then when they come and say, well, and we shouldn't worship any God, or they would say, well, we end up being God ourselves, or they say something to the effect of mentioning the name of a false God that we should worship, well, now we know that's not true. That's breaking the first and second commandment. Friends, Satan is a master psychologist, an expert observer. He has watched mankind for 6,000 years and pays very close attention to every action that we take. Now, he does not know our thoughts, but he very well knows how one thought leads to another and eventually to action. He knows how to get ideas planted into our heads and getting people to believe them enough to take action. And he knows how to push buttons. And he knows how to get people to fight each other, all the while presenting a solution which he intended to get people to believe all along. Friends, he knows how to manipulate group discussions and turn everyone against everyone. When someone decides to stand up for the truth or speak the truth, well, that person's the bad guy. You will never be able to outsmart him, though. You see, he knows you, and he knows Scripture better than any of us could dream of knowing. However, all his knowledge and wisdom is nothing when put against the knowledge of God. We have access to the mind of Christ, and as long as we tap into his mind, wielding the sword of the Spirit as Christ did when tempted in the wilderness, we can silence any lie he makes. We stand upon truth. Dear friend, agree with it and let God do our fighting for us. It can defeat any attack of Satan to brainwash us. And yes, we really mean that. Friends, I thank you for tuning in to the program. I've been sharing with you partly from Charlie Wolcott's blog post, The Serpent. You can find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab and you'll find Charlie Wolcott's posts there every Friday morning, 6 a.m. Eastern time. Why not leave him a comment and let him know that you're there? If you've been using our materials, please let us know. You can write to me personally, jason@worldviewwarriors.org. Let me know you're there. Let us know how we can help you. Again, you can find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. When we come back, I'm going to be taking time to share with you a dream from David Odegaard titled The Disquieting Dream. We're not claiming that this is a prophetic dream or anything, but many, many months ago, David fell asleep reading, as he often does, and he dreamed of a large hill with no real vegetation on it. And friends, we're looking forward to sharing with you the rest of what he saw. Thanks again for tuning in to the program. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurek.
Let's take a look at what a bond servant is. Out of Scripture, in Jude, we see that Jude is a bond servant. Well, friends, there's someone who were free but chooses to bind themselves to a servant, to a master for life. They and their family would serve that master as long as the bond servant or the master lived. They would usually pierce their ear with something to indicate their status as a bond servant, and they were well cared for by their masters. Well, friends, if we call ourselves Christians and Christ followers, are we just following him through religious habits, or are we dedicated to him above all else? Have we satisfied the technicalities of getting saved, quote-unquote, in the Bible, or are we living out the spirit of that? Friends, I encourage you, go find Nathan Buck's blog post entitled Out of the Gray, Part 1.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurek.
I personally believe there can be strength in diversity. However, if someone has a belief that is erroneous, we should be free to show them this in love. If they reject the evidence for the insanity of their worldview, well, that's on them. The old analogy works perfectly here. If I walk by your house and see you laying on the couch asleep, but notice there is smoke billowing out of the upper windows, shouldn't I tell you? You're happy, you're unaware of the problem. Should I be intolerant and wake you up to tell you there's a big problem that you will suffer terrible consequences for? Or do I just let the house burn to the ground while you are inside of it? Of course, the only right answer is to take action and help. Once I inform you, my hands are clean. The course of action you take, well, that is up to you.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I'd like to thank you for being a listener to this program. I hope you're a reader to our blog. Again, you can find that at worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab and you can find all of our writers there. Right now, I'd like to share with you what we're calling a disquieting dream. This is by David Odegaard. And again, we're not claiming that this is a prophetic dream. But many, many months ago, David fell asleep, as he often does, reading. And he dreamed of a large hill with no real vegetation on it. As he looked closer, he realized it was a giant mudslide that was being held back by an incredible retaining wall made of cedar planks and pylons. The pylons looked like sequoias. The planks were thick and rough-hewn. It looked as though they could hold the mudslide for 1,000 generations. Below the pylon and plank wall, a fat little village sat filled with old houses. People were nonchalantly going about their business as though there wasn't a deadly mudslide looming. David goes on to say that he understood in his dream that it had been many generations since the pylon wall was built, and everyone took for granted that it would always provide its benefits. It had been so long that most people were completely uninvolved with pylon. It was just something that was always there from the time they were born till the time they died. All fine. The villagers don't have to understand the physics of a pylon and plank walls to be secure. But David goes on to say, as he looked, a few miles of the pylon wall had been completely washed out, and mud covered a section of the village. People were dead under that mud, but none of the others noticed or cared. David goes on to say that he thought, how could those pylons have been broken? So he set about examining the other pylons, and what he found was shocking. Many of the pylons were rotted hollow and were rotting underground. Many of them only looked strong, but they were weak. Much of the structure was about to be washed away by the mudslide. Some of the planks, too, were already broken, but they hadn't given way because of the support of the other planks. too many were broken, though, and it couldn't last very many more years. How long until another complete section gave way? And why didn't anyone care? Now, friends, whether this dream was sent to David from God or just a product of his own subconscious doesn't really obscure the point. Friends, the mudslide is the inevitable disaster of judgment. It is restrained by the remains of a Christian culture which the villagers don't remember or understand. Friends, Christians of the past built a culture based on their belief in the New Testament. The intercessory prayers of God's people may delay judgment, but the judgment of God is as inevitable as gravity. The timing may be flexible, but it is assuredly coming. Be warned. God would simply not be just if he allowed bad people to, quote unquote, get away with it. God will always do the right thing. If someone steals the money from an old lady's bank account, then finally gets caught, we rejoice when he goes to prison because justice has been done. Well, God is absolute in his sense of justice. He makes all things right. This is something he has revealed about himself. Let's get back to the dream for a bit. The pylons are the pastors and elders of the church. It is their job to intercede for everyone and preach the gospel. Most of the weight and responsibility is upon the pylons, in the same way that the bulk of weight of the ministry is carried by pastors and elders. The planks do the actual work, though. The pylons alone couldn't restrain the mud. The planks do that. But the pylons hold the planks in place. Together, each is doing its part. It's functioning, it'll function beautifully. The bishops or regional directors or district superintendents, whatever you want to call them, the pastors to the pastors, whatever. The bishops are supposed to pray and support the pastors. These people are like pylon inspectors. If the pylons begin to rot, it is the inspector's job to pull them and replace them so that tragedy doesn't ensue. Herein lies the rub. Many church denominations just aren't fulfilling this duty. David goes on to share, I think that there's denominations that are almost completely secular now. Those who believe that politics are more important in the arena, or who are willing to ordain actively sinful ministers, and even actively homosexual ministers, or who water down the word of God through higher criticism of other means of dilution. These denominations were certainly ignoring the spiritual state of their pastors long before the denomination slid so far away from biblical Christianity. Dear friends, we cannot settle for superficiality. Probe beneath the surface and you may find that there is a hollow corruption in great-looking ministries. If you want to restrain flood of desperation in modern society, which is definitely one of the roles of the church, then you must be strong in a real way. The inside must match the outside. And dear leaders, for goodness sake, if you see some weakness, address it. Pretending that the issues are not serious will not help anyone, especially the non-Christian world. Dear friends, whole denominations now have seemed to be falling into apostasy. Every time the enemy is able to bring one of them under his control, it puts that much more pressure on the rest of the retaining wall to remain strong. Faithful Christians are under more strain than ever before in the West due to, the failings of these denominations. In fact, the world mocks Christianity, and the apostates cheer them on. There's a great lyric from a band, Thousand Foot Crutch, that says, "Give me one if you can feel it, two if it's real, and give me three signs that you're awake." Wake up. Friends, the world is burning. Will you laugh and play the violin like Nero? Or will you preach and pray like a Christian? I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to frustration in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of, childbirth up to the present time. Romans 8, 18 through 22. Friends, I encourage you to find this blog post at worldviewwarriors.org. It's been written by David Odegaard, a disquieting dream. In the search bar, you can type dream and David Odegaard, O-D-E-G-A-R-D. Press search and you'll find it. And we'll be sharing this again with the drawing that we've made as well. Thanks again for tuning in to Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com.
Thanks for listening to Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.